Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. And well, I just got done watching part six, the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi over on Disney Plus. And well, of course, you know this is a spoiler cast, right? This is the penultimate episode here for the breakdowns of Obi-Wan Kenobi. So if you have not seen the episode yet, do yourself a favor, shut this podcast off, go watch it, because oh my goodness, this was so much in this episode that I just was hoping to see. And I mean, they delivered more than what I think really even knew what I wanted. I mean, you know, go watch the episode. Come on back. Spoilers, here we go. I talked about on the last episode, I wasn't so sure I really truly wanted to see another fight between Obi-Wan and Vader. I was just really kind of on the fence, like, you know, we had it. Does it make sense? How wrong I was, because what they presented us here was just fantastic. You know, ultimately, of course, they end up on, I don't even know if we had a name for this planet where they end up going, and they end up having that confrontation. Kind of the dialogue that happens throughout it, the just immense power that they both have. I mean, the fight starts off with Vader kind of with the upper hand, right? Obi-Wan tries to throw down the giant rock on him. Vader stops it and says, oh, you've gotten stronger, you know, knowing that he kind of is tapping back in with the force from their last fight, crushes the ground, throws all these rocks and everything down on top of them. And, you know, in that moment, and it was really represented really well, was in that moment, we have, and I mention this a lot of times when I watch Star Wars or the MCU stuff on Disney Plus, I always put the subtitles on. And so I definitely recommend you do that, especially if you're going to give this a rewatch. And you start hearing all these clips of Anakin from the prequels to Anakin from, or well, I should say Vader, comments that he made just kind of throughout the series to Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan's feeling all that, and he, you know, still is feeling that guilt for what has happened to his friend. But then he remembers Leia and Luke and kind of what the whole purpose is right now for him. You know, it seems like throughout this and in the beginning of the series, he was unable to let go of that past and of that tragedy of losing Anakin, who was not only his Padawan, but his dear friend, right? And almost a son to him. And then when he realizes, like, wait a minute, that's not what I'm here for, that's when he's able to break out of that. And man, that moment of him standing there with his hand stretched out, almost looking like he was like a Super Saiyan, man, from like Dragon Ball Z, and launching those rocks at Vader, it was just awesome. And then on top of that, of course, cuts the mask. Mask breaks off, kind of like what we had with Ahsoka and Anakin in Rebels in season two of that. Seeing Hayden Christensen under there with the full, you know, Vader and Anakin makeup, and then to hear the voice cutting back and forth was just awesome. And then that whole speech, I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I think some of the lines that were in there are just going to go on forever, basically, of Obi-Wan apologizing to Anakin and finally being able to have that moment. And essentially, it seems like in that point, that's when he let it all go, right? That's when finally he's free of the burden of losing Anakin and allowing him to become Vader, and of Obi-Wan apologizing. And then for Anakin to basically say, you didn't kill Anakin, I did. And I think that's what Obi-Wan needed to hear. Like, that was just the moment that he needed to not only propel him in this fight and give him the courage to walk away. Like, really, he had him in that moment. Vader was not doing so hot, right? I mean, he had his rebreather and all that had been shattered. The atmosphere was taking its toll. He was having problems breathing. At one point, Obi-Wan is smashing the robotics and all that and mechanical pieces of his chest plate. And yet, Obi-Wan walked away, you know, even though Anakin flat out admits or Vader admits, Anakin's dead. Like, you didn't kill him, I did. And Obi-Wan, knowing all of what is possible with Vader, even especially what he's done up to that point, chooses to walk away. And I think that now can lead up to what we hear in A New Hope, when Vader takes down Obi-Wan and he says, when last we met, I was still the student and you were the teacher. You know, many of us obviously thought that was, you know, whenever they had met, and it could have been them very well, that flashback scene. Well, it wouldn't have been the flashback scene. It would have been them fighting on Mustafar, right? But now this is that fight. This is the last time they met, and Obi-Wan won. And so that's what Vader's saying. But then you still think about that fight in A New Hope. And when he says that, it's still Anakin going into his character trait of having to win, which we saw in the last episode when we had the flashback to the Attack of the Clones era fight. And that's what Obi-Wan says. He's like, until you can get over that hump of just needing to win at any cost, you will always lose. And in A New Hope, even though he takes Obi-Wan out, what does Obi-Wan says? He says, if you strike me down now, I will become more powerful than you could ever imagine. Or, you know, I forget what he says there at the end, but like, that's Anakin still, he is not, even though he thinks he is the teacher, you know, at that point, and no longer the student, Obi-Wan knows. And then you assume he knows, because at the very end of this episode, we did get what we were hoping to get, the Liam Neeson Qui-Gon appearance, and saying, you know, we have a ways to go, or, you know, I forget the word he said, which was just awesome to see. I mean, he definitely sounded a little bit older for sure, but seeing Liam Neeson back in that role. I mean, that's the thing. This whole series has just been, it's been fantastic. I mean, you know, obviously you can put these actors back in these roles and we're all going to love it. We're all going to eat it up. I mean, we're Star Wars fans, right? That's just the way it is. But to have it be done so well and to be just a love letter to fans, giving you moments that you wanted, things that you didn't even know you wanted, was just awesome. And I got to say, like, you know, Reva, her character arc through this, you know, the very first episode, we hated her. You hate her, right? She is an inquisitor, and she's even beyond. She's an extreme inquisitor. I mean, we all hated the Grand Inquisitor, of course, from Rebels, and, you know, we know he's in this. But she's beyond that, too, like, where you're just, like, just a character that you love to hate. And by the end of this, knowing her backstory now and what's next is in question. And, you know, that's kind of where I've been trying to think right now. Like, what do I want for Reva? Where do I want to go? Obviously, I think we need to see a redemption arc. I mean, I forget the actress's name. I wish I had it. And, you know, all the backlash she's been getting from, you know, the weird niche side of the Star Wars community that for some reason just seems to have to be negative on anything new Star Wars. Screw them. I mean, her portrayal in here and where that character went from the beginning to where she's literally down on her knees crying in front of Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan being the teacher and telling her, like, you know, by you showing mercy, you've now let yourself free of your burden, you know, kind of like he did of Anakin by walking away, showing that mercy. I mean, he's literally saying, you know, I just showed mercy and I'm free of my burden. You just showed mercy by not killing Luke. You're now free of that burden, is essentially what Obi-Wan said to her. And it was just like, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. I mean, and Star Wars is great, guys. Like, that's what I love about Star Wars. But that scene, and I need more Reva now. Like, we need more Reva to come out. And I don't know, like, do they do a Reva series? Like, I think that would be really cool, where you could have Reva hooking back up with, I wish I knew the guy's name. He was the one that was basically kind of leading the efforts on Jabim, whose wife was killed. It's actually Ice Cube's son, who is that actor. If she somehow finds a way to connect with him, and, you know, you could have that moment where he's very concerned that she's there, and she's like, no, look, like, I've found my path. And maybe, you know, you have Obi-Wan get in contact, and she kind of redeems herself, and then she helps free all these other Jedi, and, you know, maybe somehow hooks up down the line with Ahsoka. Maybe she's in the Ahsoka series, and then, you know, you could even have when we potentially, and I kind of hope we get kind of the early stages of the Luke Jedi training facility and Reva's there. Like, maybe that's the role she plays, that she's able to kind of have that character arc. Because who better to really teach right now? I mean, you have Luke, who was enticed by the dark side, let's say, in the original trilogy. You know, his father and the Emperor basically wanted him to go down that path. He was able to push it away, but not in a way that Reva did, right? Reva went down the path. Like, she went down the dark path. She was to the point where, I mean, she was right there when they're killing younglings, right there when they're killing, Jedi, being ruthless, but then was able to come out of that darkness and pull it to the light side. So who better to train Jedi than her, you know, or be one of the teachers, right? Not obviously the ultimate teacher, but one of the teachers there to teach them how to push that away. I think that would be an awesome series and a great arc for her. But I think, you know, bringing her maybe into something like the Ahsoka series would be cool as well, to kind of see how maybe we're going to get, I don't know where she is now. Just thinking about what they did with the series, it's just awesome, man. They really... really did just so much that is, you know, kind of what I wanted. I'm just trying to think what else here. You know, Leia is just awesome. I hope we get more of that actress playing Leia down the line. I mean, I think a series of her on Alderaan, you know, maybe being that senator, which, you know, of course, the age the actress is now, you know, it'd be some time for her to be a little bit older. But I think a cool little show for kids would be kind of neat, you know, kind of as a young, like a young Leia series. But I do hope we get that Leia even later on. I mean, there's a whole book about, I forget, was it Claudia Gray that put that book out, where it's kind of Leia, kind of the lead up to the First Order as senator, you know, Leia Organa. Maybe we get that series at some point. But, you know, there was a big push kind of before this of a potential season two. We didn't get confirmation of that, obviously, here. You know, I wish we had, but we didn't. But the sky's the limit. You know, I think you could have now this series where Qui-Gon is teaching Obi-Wan, and we're kind of learning, you know, what that training is like. I don't know. But, you know, that was the one thing I wanted to say. The one thing that I haven't mentioned here on the show, but in the back of my mind, I've kind of been thinking about it. I saw some other people kind of mentioning this of like, when are we going to get it? And we got it. And of course, that is the, hello there. I mean, if anything, this whole series was built to just get Ewan McGregor to say, hello there again. And it was money. Oh my God, it was so good. Like, it was the perfect moment, the perfect character for him to be saying it to have him go up to Luke and say hello there was just, that was it. How do you get better than that? Like, what better writing is there than that? It was perfect, absolutely perfect. And two other things. Number one, the music was just spot on. I mean, John Williams, obviously doing the music here for the series, was just perfect. You know, great mix of the Imperial March in this episode, the Force theme in this episode, like, was just awesome. And then, especially during the fight, there were some shots, and not even just the fight, even when, like, Vader was on the Star Destroyer, and we had the classic shot of it kind of coming up from the bottom of the screen, there were so many well-crafted cinematic shots in this episode, and even in the series as a whole, that you could tell, like, the people who made this show love Star Wars. And of course, I mean, we've seen now kind of all the behind the scenes stuff with Filoni and Favreau and that. So we know, you know, that they love it. And I mean, even Deborah Chow, like, you know, her love for Star Wars and what she did with the Mandalorian episode she did. Like, there's so much good about this show and so much heart to this show that I think anybody who had any qualms with either The Mandalorian or even especially coming off Boba Fett and kind of how that was received by some folks. This series just redeemed it all and then some, I think. It's awesome. What a series. What an episode. I think I'm going to have to go watch it all again, honestly. I haven't actually, my wife and kids watched about half of the first episode that first week it came out, and that was it. We've just been watching Ms. Marvel, and then we're binging through Stranger Things. So might be a little bit before we get to it, but especially my wife, I want her to see this because, I mean, she knows the story of Star Wars, and this actually did pique her interest because she kind of loves that arc of Anakin kind of through it all. So It's awesome. But all right, let me know your thoughts, guys, please. I really want to know what everybody's kind of receiving, not only of this episode, but just the series as a whole, and kind of what it has added now to the story of Star Wars, to the lore of the universe and the world that we love, that we all call Star Wars. Let me know. Hit me up on Twitter at Mark Turk, MarkTurc. Of course, you can email the show, theenthusedlife@gmail.com. Please let me know. So, all right, that's going to do it for me here today, guys. I will be back on Friday. Got a couple ideas for some topics for Friday. So we'll see kind of how it all pans out, kind of what news and that kind of breaks here over the next couple days. But all right, so until then, have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you next time.